السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله نور السماوات والأرض، مثل نوره كمشكات فيها مصباح، المصباح في زجاجة، الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري، يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية، يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار، نور على نور، يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء، ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس، والله بكل شيء عليم. صدق الله العلي العظيم، وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Before I begin, I'd like to congratulate you all on the auspicious occasion of the birth of Sayyidati Nisa al-Alameen, Lady Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam. Truly, it is a joyous occasion. And I'd like to share with you some of the details of this blessed birth as is narrated in our tradition. And the sort of blessings that were brought upon the Ummah, the nation, with the birth of such a lady. And how distinct her presence was among the presence of the ladies there, including the ones that had come before and the ones that were to come following. In Bihar al-Anwar, and you're familiar with Bihar al-Anwar, it is a encyclopedia of hadith in the Shi'i tradition, comprised of about 110 volumes, one of the largest, by Allama Muhammad Baqir Majlisi. And he took it upon himself to provide this great work, 110 volumes of some of the greatest traditions, or the greatest traditions at least, which were available to him at that time. He compiled into an encyclopedia, and he named it Bihar al-Anwar. Al-Anwar, the illuminations, an allegory for the Ahlul Bayt, al-Anwar. And as we shall see in the Quran, the word Nur in chapter 24, Surah An-Nur, which is named after an ayah, ayah number 35, describing Allah as Nur. Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. The Ahlul Bayt in the hadith are associated with that nur, with the very same illumination, nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. In Ziyarat Jami'ah, one of the greatest ziyarat, found in Mafatih al-Jinan and other books, and is recommended to be read when one visits any members of the Ahlul Bayt, Ziyarat al-Jami'ah al-Kabira. We say that خَلَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ أَنْوَارًا. It's called Jami'ah because it is a ziyarah dedicated to all of the members of Ahlul Bayt, so it can be recited anywhere. خَلَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ أَنْوَارًا. God created you, O Ahlul Bayt, as Anwar. And this was from His light. Allah is also light. He is represented as Nur. From His own Nur, He created the Anwar of Ahlul Bayt. So the book called Anwar, Bihar al-Anwar, Bihar oceans, because of the vast amount of information which is in there. And Al-Alama al-Majlisi, when he compiled this encyclopedia, he commented on it. He said that this is like an ocean, in the same way that you find in the ocean pearls, which are very valuable, and sometimes you'll find things which are not so very valuable. Some animals or some things that you might find in the ocean that aren't very valuable. You will find both types here. And when he compiled this encyclopedia was mainly for the purpose of research. A person who is learned, who knows how to distinguish between what ahadith are authentic and what ahadith are not, is to use this as a source. But regardless, when Allama Majlisi presents the ahadith which have to do with the birth and the life and the martyrdom of Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, he dedicates an entire volume to it. And that's volume number 43 out of the 110. And one of the first narrations in volume 43 describes the birth of Fatima, describes the story behind her birth. And through this we begin to see how significant and how special her birth really was. Because it happened under a set of circumstances. And I'll describe in a minute what circumstances I'm speaking of. The first hadith is from the sixth Imam, Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. And the narrator is Al-Mufaddal bin Umar, who was one of the famous narrators and companions of the sixth Imam, Al-Mufaddal bin Umar. He has a book which he compiled based off of the teachings of the sixth Imam called Tawheed al-Mufaddal. This is one of the earliest books in the Shi'i tradition. And it speaks about Tawheed. It speaks about the attributes of God, Tawheed al-Mufaddal, which he learned from these teachings he learned from his master, the sixth Imam. So the sixth Imam narrates, he says to Al-Mufaddal bin Umar, he says to him that when Khadija bint Khuwaylid, the noble lady, decided to marry Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that she was abandoned. We all know this. Why was she abandoned? Because she was a noble woman, and the Prophet was also a nobleman. He was from a noble family. He had all the attributes of a noble man, but he didn't have wealth. And he didn't have parents. And for some, having wealth, the money that you have, and the family that you come from, unfortunately for some is more important than who you are as a human being, as a character. And this is how some people were at that time. So they abandoned her because she decided to marry the Prophet. They warned her against marrying a poor orphan, a man who had lost his parents at a young age, his father before he was born and his mother when he was a child. So they abandoned her. And not only would they stop visiting her, they didn't allow others to visit her. And so she became very lonely. She became very lonely. Sometimes we make choices in our life, and because of those choices, we will miss out on some of the associations that we have. We will lose some of our friends. Some of our family members might reprimand us. But this is a consequence based off of a choice. She made an excellent choice. She married the perfect man. She married the perfect gentleman. But she had to suffer the consequences of loneliness and being alone. When she bore Fatima, and there's a very interesting hadith also mentioned in Bihar al-Anwar, in the same volume. It says that Rasulullah ascended to the heavens during the Isra and Mi'raj, when he was taken from Mecca to Jerusalem, and then from Jerusalem to the heavens. And this is described in the Quran, in chapter number 17. Surah Al-Isra, Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-harami ila al-masjid al-aqsa. Praise be to the one who took his abd, his slave, meaning the Prophet, from Al-Masjid Al-Haram in Mecca to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, Al-Aqsa meaning the farthest point. At that moment, it was the farthest point from Mecca as a mosque. And when he went and he ascended, of course, we have many narrations which describe what exactly happened when the Prophet ascended. The Quran itself also describes many verses which, you know, we can't seem to make sense of. They are open to, what I mean by that is that they are open to different interpretations. ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّى فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى. He came closer, the Prophet, until he was two bow lengths away from God. What does that mean? And scholars have, they have several suggestions on what this could possibly mean, this closeness, this proximity. Anyways, this hadith mentions that the Prophet went to the heavens, he ascended, and he visited the paradise. We know that he visited the heavens, and he saw a glimpse of the hellfire, and when he came back, he never smiled with his teeth anymore, because he would remember the hellfire. But the Prophet was a very friendly person and would always smile regardless. He visited the heavens and he was given, according to the narration, some of the fruit, some of the dates, some of the apples, the fruit which was in the paradise. He consumed it. When he came back and he descended, according to the Prophet, his account, he said that at that same night when he came back, he approached Khadija. And when he approached Khadija, that was when the inception took place. And this is when Fatima, and this is why when the Prophet would describe Fatima, he would describe her as one of the huris of the paradise, meaning she had an element of paradise in her. She had an element of Jannah in her, because that's where her origin was from. Now, Khadija bears Fatima. She's in her womb. The Prophet isn't able to do much for Khadija. He can't be her midwife. He can't take care of her. You know, being a midwife, being able to deliver a child and take care of a pregnant woman, that not everybody knew how to do that, in the same way that not everyone knows how to do that today. She required companionship. It was a very delicate time. It was a very tough time for her. Because not only was she abandoned, that abandonment continued even when she was bearing Fatima. So she was lonely. And remember, Khadija is no ordinary woman. Khadija is a woman who, Khadija bint Khuwaylid, the daughter of Khuwaylid, a family of wealth, a family of nobility. She was a merchant. She had wealth. She interacted with people. People worked for her. The Prophet himself worked for her. So it wasn't like she never had any friends or associations. She had friends and associations, but that stopped when she married the poor orphan. And so she was lonely at that time. So the woman would not speak to her. They would not come and visit her. They would not allow anyone else to come and visit her. But the Prophet one day walks into the room of Khadija and he hears her speaking. She's speaking, Khadija is speaking out loud, as if she's conversing with someone. And the Prophet comes in, and the Prophet knows the state of what has happened, and so he's surprised. Khadija, who are you talking to? There's nobody here in the home right now. No other women, you've been abandoned. She says to the Prophet, she says, if you want to know who I'm conversing with, I am conversing with the baby that is in my womb. And I hear her reply. The hadith says, tuhaddithuni, or yuhaddithuni in the male form, yuhaddithu, because the word is janin, which can be described in the male form. Al-janinu yuhaddithuni wa yu'nisuni, speaks to me, produces hadith, speech, wa yu'nisuni, and keeps me happy, keeps me entertained. So it's speech which brings me comfort and keeps me entertained. And so at that moment, the Prophet turned to her And he says, O Khadija, Hada Jibra'il, Jibra'il is with me now. And he is informing me of this blessing which is about to be delivered. That from this blessing, my nasl, my descendants, my lineage shall continue. And that from her, the successors will come after me. One successor after another successor. But Khadija was still alone. And when it came time to give birth, she called upon the woman. She said, I'm giving birth now. I need someone to help me. They said, no, we won't help you because you didn't take heed to our advice. We told you not to marry him and you decided to marry him. See how lonely she was, what kind of state she was in? But with all of that, she persevered and she was patient. And Allah replaced her association that she had with a better association. The Quran says there are things that you love that are harmful to you. And things which are that you love and you want, but they are harmful to you and you don't know. And there are some things which you do not like, you do not love, but they are good for you. They are a benefit to you. How do we know when it becomes a benefit or when it becomes a harm? As limited beings, Allah knows everything. Allah knows when it is a benefit or when is it a harm. For us, human beings living on a linear scale, living on planet Earth, patience, wait, and time will tell. Time does not apply to God. God is outside of time. Time applies to us. So we have to wait. There has to be time which has to pass in order for us to understand the reality, to understand the will of God. And this is something very special about patience. And so she waited. And the time came for her to give birth. The hadith, this is all the hadith, by the way. It is continuing, the hadith of the sixth imam. It says that at that time, at that very hard time, when she realized that she was abandoned, God replaced the association that she had with an even better association. So four women came to her. Four tall, beautiful women came to her and they introduced themselves. One of them said, I am Sarah, the wife of Ibrahim. And she pointed to the other three. She said, this is Asiya bint Muzahim, the wife of Pharaoh. She points to the third one. She says, this is Maryam ibnat Imran. This is the mother of Isa. And she points to the fourth, she says, this is Kulthum, the sister of Musa, a very righteous woman. And these are the women that are mentioned in the Quran. Sarah was a very righteous woman. She was the mother, and she had to be righteous to produce a lineage like the lineage of Ishaq. You have to be a righteous person, a righteous mother, and a righteous father, Ibrahim. And so they were there, by her side. They were comforting her. And one of them sat, the hadith continues, on the front, one of them behind, and two of them on the side. And they helped her deliver Fatima. And when Fatima was delivered, the hadith is continuing. It says that all of Mecca, there was not a corner in Mecca that was not filled with light. There was an illumination everywhere. And this illumination continued from her birth till her passing away. From her birth till her passing away. Aisha, the wife of the Prophet, she says, during when it was dark in Medina, and we required light inside the home to complete our tasks, we would use the light of the face of Fatima, the illumination of the face of Fatima. Here the Quran says, Allahu nuru samawati wal ardh. مثل نوره كمشكاة فيها مصباح المصباح في زجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري. This verse, chapter number 24, Surah An-Nur, verse number 35, is one of the most quoted verses of the Quran. In fact, there are entire books which are written about the commentary of this verse. What does it mean that God is Nur, that He is illumination? And why is this illumination represented as a lamp, which is in a glass, which is in a niche. What does this mean? What are all of these layers? Well, our first and foremost source are the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And you know, if you read the commentaries now, there's different speculations, what this means, what that means. And the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, it says, Al-Mishkat hiya Fatima. Simple. The niche which contains the glass, which contains the lamp, is Fatima. And it describes her sons, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, as the lamp and the glass. If you've ever seen an old lamp, there's the lamp which is inside with the wick, which burns, which requires oil. And then it's covered with a glass. And then sometimes that glass is placed in a niche, which can be carried. Or sometimes it's a crevice, an opening in the wall where it can be stored. All of these allegorically are interpreted as the members of the household of Ahlul Bayt. Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. Mathalu Nurihi, like his light is Mishkat. Mishkat is Fatima. Mathalu Nurihi kamisbah. Kamisbah in fiha Mishkat. Okay? Or مشكات فيها مصباح المصباح في زجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة. Where does the fuel come from? A blessed olive tree, which neither belongs to the east nor to the west. يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم يمسسه نار. That the oil is illuminating even when there is no fire. Nurun ala nur, light upon light. And the hadith say that light upon light is the imams of Ahlul Bayt, one after another, one nur after another nur. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I forgot to mention a small detail. When Fatima was delivered, the first thing that she said was, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And so you look at the circumstance. Fatima, ostracized, neglected, left alone, gives up her family, has no one. The Prophet himself is neglected. The Prophet had also lost his association. This is the early days of Islam. The Prophet didn't have many people to confide in. He had also lost his associations. But then the four ladies, who are the greatest ladies to live before Fatima, come to the aid of Khadija. And not only that, the birth is so blessed that the nasl, the genealogy, the lineage of Rasulullah continues through it. And the Quran affirms here, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, fasalli lirabbika wanhar, inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. That God gave you kawthar, which means abundance. Kawthar comes from kathra, an abundance, a large abundance. And kawthar is one of the names of Fatima alayhi salam. We have given you an abundance, Ya Rasulullah. Your lineage will continue. The one who says that you have no lineage, he has no lineage. His lineage is not remembered. Nobody remembers the man who insulted Rasulullah. Nobody even knows where his descendants are today. فَصَلِّ لَرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرُ. The fact that the Prophet went to the Mi'raj, he consumed from the heavenly fruits. And after that, you know, this teaches us a very important lesson. That even the birth of Fatima was timed. It was not coincidental. It was something which was planned. It was something which was measured to the detail. So that even the food which was consumed by the parents who were to create the child was pure. You know, this transfers. If the parents are consuming that which is pure, then that purity transfers to the child. And if they are consuming that which is impure on a regular basis, well, then what do you expect the child to turn out to be? Why was she named Fatima? According to the many ahadith, the hadith of the sixth Imam, Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, and the hadith of the eighth Imam, Al-Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha. They were asked, why was she named Fatima? What is the meaning of the name Fatima? The literal meaning of Fatima. Where does it come from? What is the verb which comes from? Fatama. Which means to what? What does Fatama mean?
Sustain.
No, Fatama means, anybody? Fatama means to wean. When a child is weaned from his mother, meaning that he doesn't consume any of the milk anymore. When it's cut off, when you get to the age where you decide your child will not breastfeed anymore, that is called fatama, to cut off, to wean, to separate. So why is she called Fatima? The one who separates, or the one who cuts off. Cutting off what? According to the hadith, it says, إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَتْ فَاطِمَة because, it says, she was named Fatima because her lovers, those who loved her, are cut off from the hellfire. The hellfire cannot reach them. And her enemies and her opponents, what happens? The heaven cannot reach them. They are cut off from the heaven. They are weaned from the heaven. And this is why she is named Fatima. Another reason, according to the Imam, he says, لِأَنَّ الْخَلْقِ فُطِمُوا عَن مَعْرِفَتِهَا because humanity, all of humanity, has been cut off from knowing the true value of who Fatima was. To this day, we don't understand the greatness and the glory of Fatima. And this is evident from the ahadith. The Imam says, نَحْنُ حُجَّجُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ خَلْقِهِ وَفَاطِمَ حُجَّةٌ عَلَيْنَا We represent the authority of God upon His people. And Fatima represents the authority of God upon us. In the same relation that we have to our Shia, our followers, Fatima has to us. She has the same sort of response, she has the same sort of authority upon us as well. And Fatima left behind a rich legacy. You know, sometimes we ask ourselves, well, there's not much that we know about Fatima during her life. We don't have a large collection of hadith. She only lived for about 18 years. And her life in Mecca, we don't know so much about. We know about her life in Medina, but that was only a few years. But with what we do know about her, she left behind a very, very rich legacy. There wasn't a lot, but what was there and what is there is very rich. One of the things which she left behind in terms of practices was the daily practice that we have, the tasbih. Tasbih Fatima. The one that we do after each prayer. And it's also recommended to do before you sleep as well, according to the hadith. And this is also mentioned in Bihar al-Anwar, Al-Alam al-Majlisi, he narrates in his hadith, going to the narration of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Mu'mineen narrates the following. He says that one day there were, and this is in Medina, there were spoils of war, which had just arrived from a recent battle. And, you know, spoils of war brought with them an abundance. There was always an abundance to be divided among the Muslims, among the companions, for everyone to benefit from. The Imam had noticed Fatima had become very tired. It had taken, the housework that she was doing had taken a toll on her. You know, the housework, they didn't have, like today we have the robot that does the vacuuming. And you just set a timer, and it goes around. Have you seen them? They vacuum the entire space and it comes back to the dock and it charges. And none of them ever work properly. They always get stuck. But we have dishwashers. We have vacuum cleaners. None of this was existent back then. Everything had to be done manually. Imagine if they took us right now and they placed us in the 7th century. All of us would die in 3 days. Because we would have to go get the weed and we'd have to go crush it and we'd have to do I don't know what and use that big thing that they used to use and make the bread and we would die of starvation. That would be a good diet. This work had taken a toll on Fatima. She had 4 children and she did not have a servant with her. And usually women had a servant in the home, sometimes even more than 1 servant. So the workload was upon her and the Imam would always help her, of course. He would always assist her. But he saw that it had taken a toll. Fatima was very fragile. She was very fragile. And, you know, her physical side was very fragile. She was not strong. She didn't eat much either. They only ate enough to sustain their energy. Nothing more than that. And so he tells her, go to Rasulullah. Let's ask him for assistance, since now that there's an abundance. So Fatima goes to the Prophet, and she notices that his companions are sitting with him. They're discussing something with him. So she felt embarrassed to speak in front of them. How could she? I mean, Fatima's voice was barely heard in front of anyone outside of her family. So how could she now make her voice heard and request something? How could she have the, you know, the audacity and the nerve to request something, right? So she came back. The next day, early in the morning, Rasulullah came to Fatima. He came to her. He knew that there was something. So he came to her. And he told her, "My dear Fatima, you came yesterday and you didn't say anything, you didn't request anything." She said, "I was shy, Ya Rasulullah. I was embarrassed to speak in front of your companions while you were busy." So he said, what can I do for you? What is there that I can assist you with?" According to one narration, she shows her hands and how, you know, the bruises and calluses were on her hands. And so she conveyed how tired and exhausted she was. The Prophet said, "I will give you something which is better than a maid, better than any servants, better than anything. And that is to perform the tasbihat." And he taught her the tasbihat. After every prayer, 34 times, Allahu Akbar. 33 times, Alhamdulillah. And 33 times, Subhanallah. To be recited after every prayer. And to be recited at night before you fall asleep. What a rich legacy she has left behind for us. And truly you find that if you do continue with a tasbih like this, the more you do it, the less you'll find yourself in need of outside help. The more sufficient you become. Don't try it for 2 days or 3 days, like most people when they get a gym membership, or, you know, when they go on a diet, they try it for 2 or 3 days and they think that that's it. In 10 days, I'm going to get a six pack. As soon as I sign the gym, and as soon as I make my first payment, I'm gonna have the body of my dreams. And people usually give up after the first or second month. That's why January 1st is the worst day to go to the gym. If you want a good day, go, you know, at the end in December when everybody has been filtered out. Most people cannot keep up with this. If you keep up with it, if you keep up with things such as Salatul Layl, if you keep up with things such as a tasbihat, you will begin to see the effect in your life. Give it some time. Give it some time for it to change you internally. Give it some time for it to have some effect on you internally. This was one of the things that she left behind. And, you know, just to leave on this point, there's so much to be said about Fatima that can be condensed, you know, into one lecture. You know, the legacy that she left behind was not only acts of worship, but her character, her demeanor, her chastity. There was a blind man by the name of Abdullah ibn Maktoum. A good man, but a blind man. He could not see. A companion of the Prophet. And one day he comes to the home of Fatima. And he knocks on the door. And he was blind. Everybody knew that he was blind. She places on her hijab, full hijab, from top to bottom, and she opens the door for him. And then she is asked why. Why is it that you covered from him? He's blind, he can't see you. She said, "He cannot see me, but I can see him. And since I can see him, it's enough for me to observe chastity." So chastity, iffah, it's a two-way street. It's not only people looking at me, it's me looking at people as well. A very, very rich legacy she left behind. And, you know, just the fact that Amir al-Mu'mineen spoke so highly of her in Nahj al-Balagha. You know, as I mentioned, I think last week or the week before, Amir al-Mu'mineen didn't say much which was recorded during the life of Rasulullah. He didn't make sermons and letters and statements. If anything, he only had interactions with the Prophet or interactions with other companions which were recorded. But as far as his own sermons, Those, most of them were recorded in Nahj al-Balagha. And really what Amir al-Mu'mineen has to say about Fatima in Nahj al-Balagha, just that which he has to say is enough to remind us of her grand legacy which she left behind. And really the fact that she was so unique. There was nobody like her. And for this reason she was labeled Sayyidatu Nisa'i al-Alameen or Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahl al-Jannah. The mistress, the master of the ladies of the heaven. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us her intercession, her shafa'a, that He does not separate us from the heaven and that He separates us from the hellfire through her love and through our dedication to her. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma ghfir lil-mu'minina wal-mu'minat wal-muslimina wal-muslimat al-ahya'i minhum wal-amwat. تابع بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك قاضي الحاجات إنك على كل شيء قدير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.